You can write him, Bruce@heartlandstrategy.org. That's Heartland Strategy, one word, HEARTLANDSTRATEGY.org. Or the website is www.heartlandstrategy.org. Mailing address is Bruce DeLay, Strategic Christian Services, P.O. Box 819, Cleveland, Oklahoma, 74020.
Welcome back to Heartland. You know, some days it's the pat on the back. Today it seems to be the kick in the pants. I'm either going to get some calls that are very much in agreement with what I'm saying, or they may begin to protest me because I'm touching their favorite guy or whatever. But whatever it is, 460-1170, want to hear from you. Want to discuss the matters and get into some other things here in just a minute. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Joseph. Thanks for holding through the break.
Bruce, first up, I'd like to say I really enjoy your show. I'm glad you're on the air. I have an hour drive to church on Sunday morning, and I listen to you all the way there. And on what you've been talking about, can you imagine some of those people going to some of these countries where they're risking death for just owning a Bible, who are dirt poor, but take that chance every day because of their faith, to go and tell them that, well, the reason you're poor, or the reason that you live like this, or the reason that you're in such danger, you just don't have enough faith. Can you imagine him going to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and telling him his faith isn't strong enough because he has to still make 10?
Yeah.
It makes me sick. I'm so glad you're speaking up on this subject because it makes me ill.
Well, I tell you, I really believe it makes the Lord, we have laughing services. I think the Lord's crying right now, if you want to really know the truth about the American church. And so, by the way, I know of a prosperity seminar they held in Cairo, Egypt. In exactly the same, Egypt is one of the worst places for the persecution of Christians. They'll go into a house of worship, and the Islamic soldiers will go in there and throw a bomb in there while people are worshiping, and they have nothing. Literally, they build their houses out of animal dung in their places.
Well, if they had just a little bit more faith, they could have a mansion,
Well, they tried to peddle that over there, and a friend of mine actually saw it happen and saw the people living in the street and in the parking garage of the Sheraton, the swankiest hotel in Cairo, Egypt, and where they were holding this prosperity seminar. Unfortunately, I don't think it caught on too good over there.
Amen. Good.
Well, Joseph, thanks so much for the call, and let's just stay with it. Let's plow this hard ground up and let the Lord plant some truth. All right. Thanks, Joseph. Well, today I'm going to get back into this in just a little bit, I think. But I'm going to jump on over with a friend of mine here that I've got in studio, Val Smith, from right here over here in West Tulsa. And welcome to KFAQ. Welcome to the Heartland.
Thank you, Bruce. My privilege.
Well, Val is a guy who, among other things, man of many talents, I'm sure, but among other things, has a real interest in Bible archaeology, has a real interest specifically in the Ark of Noah and the developments that have been taking place. He actually has. How many times have you been over there?
Well, I've just been one.
Just the one time, but hey, your face is on the DVD cover, so you got on there. That's pretty good.
Shows how little it takes.
That's right. But he's just produced a new DVD about, it's called Tour of the Ark. And it's about just a normal Christian who goes over there and finds things out and discovers what's really there. Let's just jump into it real quick with a little bit of background about the Ark of Noah and about what's going on with it today. When was the first time that really some scientific evidence was found that there really was an ark? Of course, there was legend and stories, and we thought we saw it from an airplane and all that kind of thing for years and years. But more recently, they've actually verified the information.
Well, this boat-shaped formation was found in 1906, actually 59. It was photographed in an aerial photography and actually was on Life magazine, September 5th, 1960. And the name of that was Noah's Ark, boat-like form seen near Ararat. And it was there for all the world to see. Now, a group had gone over there, George Vanneman, Wilbur Bishop, Renee Norbergen, and some of these guys went over, and they blew a hole in it. Actually, they were a little bit, they weren't real happy when they found out that it actually wasn't on Mount Ararat. It was roughly 18 miles south of there.
Okay.
And so they went to the formation and they blew a hole in the side of it. They looked it over for a few days. They said, well, we don't believe it's a natural object, but it's we think it's a little bit bigger than the measurements that are given in the Bible. And maybe we'll look at it again someday. So it basically just kind of stayed dormant until 1977. There was a man named Ron Wyatt that thought he should go over and maybe continue looking at it, and found at that time some sucker stones and some other artifacts, and believed that this actually was the right size.
Now today, this is located actually in the nation of Turkey.
That's correct.
But it's right along a border region. Give us a basic idea so we can have a visual on a map, for example, where this is found.
Okay, well, Mount Ararat is sort of in the corner. There's a little part that sticks out, and Iran is on the southern end of that, and then I believe it's Azerbaijan now is really more to the north.
Pretty much a hot area.
Used to be Soviet Union, which made all the trouble for the Ark hunters that were going over and searching on Mount Ararat.
Now, Ararat is actually a mountain region, by the way. It's not one literal peak. If you study what the Bible means by Ararat, it is a regional area of like a mountain range almost, and not just a single peak, although there is a peak called Ararat. But this is not outside of that general vicinity. It is within the location biblically.
Right. Yeah, these what's called the mountains, plural of Ararat, or actually that's probably better translated as Urartu. The Hebrew is it's kind of an RRT and is translated actually later in Isaiah as Armenia. So it's in this general area, and it says that the ark rested upon the mountains. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it landed.
Okay.
Quite honestly, the in Genesis 8:4-5, it talks about this. It says, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And usually that's where people stop. The next verse, verse 5, says, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So roughly after the ark rested or basically stopped moving, 2.5 months occurred before you could even see the top of a mountain, and this water's continuously decreasing for that amount of time. So it's obvious that it wasn't really sitting on a mountain.
Yeah.
Because if it had actually been sitting on a mountain for those 2.5 months, you'd have seen the top of the mountain going up.
What's interesting to me is that the nation of Turkey now has actually established that area there, and you say they have some type of structure there and everything, as a national park. And they recognize it as Noah's Ark, and they recognize it as, what do they call it, literally?
Noah's Ark National Park.
Noah's Ark National Park. I mean, hey, you know, Yogi could live there,
and
we'd believe it. But there's some people who still like, oh, no, of course it's not. Yet the very nation of Turkey, with their archaeologists and their officials, as well as many others who've gone over there, have proven it to the point that they've created this national park with a visitor center and a museum, I suppose, with information there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You go and there's actually a book that you log in, or you know, a visitor's book, and this thing is half full.
Wow.
It's people from Europe. It's people from Japan. They've come over with film crews and camera crews. There's been a lot of evidence that's been, over the years, things that have been found. I personally saw a bracket with the rivet head in it. We found, while we were there, a large piece of petrified coral at 6,300 feet in elevation that was as flat as this table. And if you can't see it, this is very flat. So whatever this large piece of coral grew on was not a natural object.
Coral at 6,300 feet?
Right.
That's in itself, you know, speaks right there.
Well, that's true. I mean,
of a global flood.
I think the shape of it speaks that it was on something that was not natural. And, you know, the ark was in the water for over a year, so there was plenty of time for coral to grow on.
Right. Wow. Well, there's so much information in this DVD. Tell us a little bit about the DVD that you've produced. I guess you have it on video and DVD. But it's called Tour of the Ark?
It's called Tour to Noah's Ark.
Tour to Noah's Ark. And I've watched part of it, and fascinating.
Yeah, and I think what it was, you know, we've seen a lot of the videos that are you know, are documenting this and that, but there really hadn't been one where you just kind of go over and get to see the sights and sounds of this countryside, Mount Ararat, the visitor center. And so we kind of documented basically by just taking home movies of what was going on as we walked around. And that's what's really interesting, because things were happening to us that are...
It made me feel like I literally was a tour, like almost like home movies, to where I could participate as if I was going over and looking through the things. You were doing some of the same things and having the same thoughts and ideas and checking this and that I would have done if I was there.
Right.
So that it draws the listener and the viewer in. I want to read this scripture, because why is it important to talk about Noah's Ark right now? I mean, where does that come from? Let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 24. But of that day and hour no man knoweth, but no, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Folks, we're living in a generation when God is revealing things that were hidden for thousands of years. 4,000 years ago, approximately, Noah got in that ark and took his 40-day ride on the floods. And yet today, God has chosen to begin to bring these things out into the open. Why? Are these things signs helping people in the last day and pointing them to who God really is, and that the Bible is really true, and that Christians even, by the way, ought to get back to believing what the Bible says? I believe that's part of what's going on here. We'll be back with Val Smith and continue talking about Noah's Ark in just a moment. This is Heartland. We are your source for conservative Christian truth.